Mini episode 1754 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this mini episode of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris coming at you today with one of my fellow FDH Lounge original dignitaries, Chris Galloway. And as we do every year, we're going through the NFL division by division, giving you our preview. And what you've landed on right now is our 2024 NFC North preview. And if you're looking for some macro-level notes for the season, there weren't many of them because this wasn't the most active NFL offseason, but go to mini-episode 1748, our AFC East preview, and you can find them in the first part of that podcast that we did. But we're here today breaking down the 2024 NFC North, and in a moment here I will be getting to basically the baseline of the segment. It comes from Fantasy Football Draftology 2024, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com, pages 17 and 18, one run-on sentence for each team. Page 18 is the NFC, and we will be getting to, again, the NFC North and having my notes on that subject that Chris and I will react to. And this is a division, Chris, where it just seems to me, looking at it in the general sense, I know that in the early days of the FDH Lounge, it might have actually been episode one or two back at the station. We did the thing on underrated hotties, and you look at, I think I invoked the name at the time, Maura Tierney. That this is a division that is going from Maura Tierney, it seems like, to modern-day Margot Robbie right before our eyes. What do you think about that, Chris?
What a bizarre analogy.
I specialize in them.
I'm almost speechless. What I would say is I expect this year the NFC North to be ranked higher than the AFC North.
Wow. Okay.
In terms of its competitiveness.
Okay.
I have the Packers winning the division.
Okay. Wow.
Narrowly over the Lions. And to your point, and I think Vegas has the Lions with more wins, but I do have them taking a half step back and the Packers taking a half step forward. So I've got the Packers at 11 wins and the Lions at 10. I have the Lions obviously making the playoffs as a wild card. It's going to be nip and tuck. In third, I have the Bears. Mm-hmm. They've added a lot of pieces. They really have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's really going to be for them a function of, you know, how fast does Caleb Williams develop and process the NFL game? Jason and I, you know, famously in our draft, our friend Jason Jones and I were very critical of Caleb Williams. I mean, he can make these flashy, sort of outside the structure play, and then sort of wilt. So I'm not prepared to believe in them in that regard. I'm going to pick the Bears to get, 7 wins or so. It's not going to be a big jump yet this year, but they do have a lot of talent. They do have pieces. And then I've got the Vikings sort of fading way into the back. With 6 wins, because the injury situation for them in this offseason has been dreadful. And I don't believe in Sam Darnold. My name is not Colin Cowherd. I don't believe in Sam Darnold's ability to lead this team to win a winning record in the playoffs. But again, to your point about the division, this is a – the Vikings are a team that is improving their roster all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are good quarterback play away from being a, you know, 10, 11, 12 win team. They've got talent on that roster. Wasn't a believer in J.J. McCarthy either. So I think for the Vikings, it's like that's a team that's going to win some games because there is talent there. But I just don't think that the quarterback position is going to allow them to win enough. And so I feel like they and the Bears are going to sort of be on the outside looking in, while the teams that have the two quarterbacks, the Lions and the Packers, are competing for the division and the playoffs.
Yeah, I thought McCarthy was a reach. I thought he was a rich man's Carson Beck. I didn't really get the whole silly season elevation of him and the status there. I do have one more I take for you before I get to my one run-on sentence here. Another one that is well outside the norm here. But if you're a Bears fan right now, and you've been sitting here, and let's say that you're a Bears fan that thought when Sid Luckman retired in 1950, well, how long can it possibly be till we get our next superstar quarterback? And now, here in 2024, you may very well have that in Caleb Williams, because I disagree with you and Jason Jones, our FDH senior editor. I think he's going to be a star. And I think to also get Rome Odunze in there, where I know you said in the previous segment you would have taken Neighbors as the best of the three. I had Odunze pretty close behind Harrison among the wide receivers, and Neighbors three, not because of any, you know, thought that Neighbors isn't going to be a great wide receiver, because he's going to be, but I'm a big mark for Rome Odunze. And you put him in there in a deadly combo with Caleb Williams, and I got to think, if you're a Bears fan and you've been waiting all this time, I mean, you got to be feeling pretty comparable to having Nicole Shanahan as your sugar mama. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I can see, you know, one can watch on tape the things that Caleb Williams can do. I think there is a real possibility that he could be this year's, you know, C.J. Stroud, if you will. If it happens, it won't shock me.
Mm-hmm.
There were just a lot of things that became very undisciplined at USC, and maybe it's just coaching, right?
Maybe.
I don't know. That bothered me about Williams, and you know, we'll see how that translates into the NFL. But I mean, I agree with you. His ceiling is very, very high. I just have my doubts as to whether or not he'll ever reach that ceiling.
Sure.
Because of some of that undisciplined play, et cetera. So, you know, I mean, again, we'll see. Odunze was my third-ranked wide receiver in the draft. And again, him, Neighbors, and Harrison were bunched very close together,
sure,
right?
I
mean, and this seems to be for, like, everybody, yes, right? Like, sort of like, those were the top three, and everybody had them, you know, you pick to choose. And again, I think it's probable that Harrison will be, you know, rookie of the year, right? Because he's going to have an experienced NFL quarterback thrown to him.
Right.
From that standpoint. So, again, that becomes sort of like an embarrassment of riches, you know, with those three wide receivers. They're all going to be good. And so, to your point, that could be enough to elevate the Bears. Like I said, they have patched holes. They've drafted pretty well. At this point, it really comes down to, you know, is Williams prepared to step up in the NFL system and become proficient within the system and eliminate mistakes, etc.?
Yes, and I want to point a clarification as well here from us on the Minnesota thing and on Sam Darnold. In case there's anybody out there, and I would truly love to think so, that hangs on any of our deep cuts here, well, if you go back to 2018, I know that I thought the Browns should have taken Sam Darnold with the first pick, and I believe you were with me on that one there. But instead,
We both were.
Yes.
We both watched him at USC and said, that's the guy.
Yep.
And boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing, though. I'm going to be a bitter clinger on that occasion. Thank you, Barack. But I'm going to be a bitter clinger because I think had he not been ruined by the Jets and the Panthers, who knows? Now, again, it may land in the same place, Chris. I mean, he may not be retrievable at this point in time, but I think to think that, like, well, he was always predestined to be a bust, I don't believe that. Nature versus nurture, bro.
Well, I think there is truth to that. We have frequently talked about that, hey, it matters where you land in the NFL.
Yep.
Especially if you're a quarterback. And it matters where you land if you are a defensive player in terms of maybe like a linebacker or an edge rusher if you're in a 4-3 or a 3-4. Like, there are positions where, you know, not like corner, it doesn't really matter, right?
Right.
But there are positions where it does matter where you land. And yep. The coaching does matter.
Yep.
And we've seen guys that I have through the years wondered, had they gotten, he had gone to a different team one or two picks later, you think, how different would have his career have been? How much more successful could have been if this had been his coach?
Right.
And vice versa, right? I mean, how many, you know, as much as I criticize, right, how many teams would have given Tom Brady the opportunity to make a roster as a sixth-round pick?
Yeah.
And to, you know, and to get experience over a year under Drew Bledsoe and entrusted him. You know what I mean? Like, that is one thing I will give a tip of the cap to Belichick for. You know, they drafted him late, but once he saw him in camp, you know, they held on to him.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder, had, you know, he gone to an impatient franchise like the Browns, you know, who famously picked Spurgeon Winn before him. Or he had gone to, you know, a clown show like Dallas, you know, or the Jets. Would Tom Brady have ever even had a career? So it does matter. You're not mistaken. But you sound a lot like, Colin Coward, who remains a Sam Darnold truther and believes that he's going to have a great year in Minnesota and finally show everybody what he, you know, why he should have been the number one pick.
Well,
I'm just not there. I just don't. I haven't seen enough in any of his stops to make me go, yeah, I can see it right there.
Well, in terms of how much he can be salvaged from how he was ruined by the Jets and the Panthers, I'm not a Sam Darnold truther at this point. I'm a Sam Darnold agnostic. Like, he could be something here at this point, but he's going to have to prove it that he can basically. You know, as far as like the, you know, the weight of like, you know, 26 Egyptian pyramids that was dropped on his back by playing for those crappy franchises, can he overcome that? I'm not sure anybody can, but it'll be interesting to see. So here's the one run-on sentence, and we'll see which ones you agree with and disagree with. I have Detroit winning the division, so I got them first here. Detroit, we picked this team to reach the NFC Championship game a year ago, which might have seemed a hipster pick, but became exactly true, as the roster building of the last 2 years has set this team up to go one step further this year, or potentially two steps. Green Bay. Jordan Love emerged loudly in 2023, while the results of other roster construction announced themselves more quietly, and continued improvement from the QB could well make up for the remaining work to be done filling holes and put the team back in the playoffs. Chicago, there's still work to be done in the trenches on both sides of the ball, but Bears fans will probably be forgiving, since this offense is set up to be the most exciting since the dawn of the Korean War. Minnesota, now keep in mind this was before the injury, were dubious of the J.J. McCarthy pick, but if the Vikings knew what they were doing with that, then they look like a playoff team, because they certainly knew what they were doing addressing other needs in the offseason. So I've got Detroit winning the division and Green Bay as a wild card, same as a year ago, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I think we see it very similarly. I don't have any issues with your run-on sentence analysis. I think Chicago's big weakness, besides obviously the question mark on a rookie quarterback, is the trenches.
Yeah.
And you begin and win in this league. You begin and end and win in this league starting in those trenches. So, you know, and again, I love what Detroit's doing. I'm not even down on Detroit by saying they're going to finish behind Green Bay. I just think that Jordan Love sprouted last year,
mm-hmm.
in that second half of the season. And I think he's going to come in to this year with talented young players around him. I think he's going to be very confident. And I thought the way you set that up was very right. There are still holes on that roster.
Yeah.
But they, I think excellent quarterback play is the ultimate Band-Aid. And honestly, there were years you remember me saying, hey, I think the Green Bay Packers are worse than the Cleveland Browns if it wasn't for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I think that got proved out at different times. It's like Aaron Rodgers in his prime was the ultimate Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, and he would go down and they looked like a shite team.
Yeah.
And so I think Jordan Love has actually stepped up and he is now at that level where he is going to be this Band-Aid that will pave right over the holes that they do have. So again, I think that's a comes down to week 18, 17, 18 for the division between those two teams. And I'm just giving a slight nod to Green Bay because Jordan Love showed me that he was emerging, and I think he's now the better quarterback over your guy Goff.
He may emerge as that point. I've always been a Jared Goff truther, and I feel vindicated now. But Jordan Love has the upside potentially to be better than what we've seen out of Goff, and that is high praise indeed. I will say also with the Bears, my thought on them is, and this is just one of these stylistic observations that I have about a team, so we both agree, a team that's questionable in the trenches, but again, potentially more explosive vertically, offensively, than they've been in a long, long, long time. They've had this whole stadium issue hanging over their heads the last couple of years. Where are they going to be playing after the lease is up? They're still at Soldier Field, but the makeup of this team right now, they were talking about building a dome stadium in like Forest Park or one of these leafy green suburbs that they have there. Like, this feels like it would be year one of a Bears team in their brand new dome that they might be going to, as opposed to a team that we've traditionally seen playing at Soldier Field over the decades.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, teams want to play in a dome now.
Yep.
Right? They just do. GMs want to take the weather out of it. So do the players. The fans that pine for, football and the players don't want it. The GMs don't want it because they want this neutral and a sealed environment to operate. What they're building, and offensive coaches love it, right? Because again, it takes the weather and the elements out of their offense. It accelerates the vertical game. And so, NFL fans in Chicago, whether it's the Browns looking to do the same thing, better get it through their heads that football people want to play inside.
They do. I will say also, I'll bring it all the way around on this note here. I was laughing about this with my brother that, like, for people that live outside of the Cleveland area and they hear that the Browns are looking to build a dome in Brook Park, just the sound of the name Brook Park, there's probably people outside this area when they hear that, they're probably like, oh, that must be a neighboring suburb to Shaker Heights, one of these leafy green type suburbs and everything like that. And like, as somebody who lives relatively near Brook Park and knows the real Brook Park, like, look, they might be redesigning it as that once Football Town comes to Brook Park in 2028 or whatever, but it's like, if ever there was a name that was not congruent with what the actual city is, yeah, Brook Park ain't what you think it is, people, nationally. It is not a neighboring suburb to Shaker Heights or one of the fancy places in town.
Well, I mean, to your point, it's the Browns are looking to develop an old Ford plant.
Yes.
Site. This was a heavy industrial site.
Yes.
So as we all know, what heavy industrial sites and the areas that looks like around those types of sites in terms of CD bars, concrete block buildings, strip clubs, you name it. That's that sort of thing. But I can understand from a regional standpoint, sorry, city of Cleveland, why, and again, I think, local government's making a mistake, why you'd want to redevelop a site like that into something fancy and nice. And, because it's not now.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think, indoor, to your point about the Bears, I mean, indoor football is here to stay.
Mm-hmm.
With the technology now and the materials, you can grow grass indoors, and players like to be indoors, like I said, and teams are starting to, you know, clearly they build around, you know, whether they're indoors or not. Like, I think if the Lions played outside,
mm-hmm.
they don't go get Jared Goff.
Maybe not.
I think in a northern winter climate, I don't think Jared Goff is suited for that. So they're guaranteeing that guy is going to be indoors for at least half their games.
Yes.
And so I think you do build a team based on whether the majority of your games are going to be indoors or outdoors. And again, that's not a tough or not a tough thing. You could be a tough indoor team. I mean, there were some Saints teams that were awfully tough.
Yep.
So it becomes more about, you know, the vertical nature of the offense, et cetera, and how you're constructing a roster. So, and I think the Bears are doing that, right? Like, they're building a roster, at least on the outside, that's like, hey, we think there's a dome coming.
Yeah, true. That's definitely, I mean, I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes, that might be playing into their roster construction. So glad you mentioned New Orleans. That's one of the most underrated things in football history. That linebacker core, late 80s, early 90s, that's one of the best linebacker cores ever. Sam Mills and company, you kidding me? Those guys were awesome. And my last note on the NFC North is actually one more one about the AFC North vis-a-vis Brook Park. If they build the whole Browns Village and all that kind of stuff there, if they fancify it in the way that they're thinking of, then the saying that so many of us have for Brook Park will no longer apply, which is Brook Park, where wife beaters are the equivalent of black tie. But anyways, Chris, I appreciate you being a part of this segment, and thank you everybody for checking out our 2024 AFC North preview.